The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two, a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All proudly brought to you by, well, Bar Canada at the D here under the Circa umbrella. Right here, downtown Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. That fly still bothering you, by the way?
Yeah, right. I know, it's left for now. Hopefully it followed Matt out.
Matt Brown said put some headphones on the fly. See what it thinks about these football games. Still to come this hour, Chris Velika, the Bear from Fox Sports, talk college football with us, as well as Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke, who gets some Major League Baseball in. As the home stretch continues in Major League Baseball, where races are tight, implications for every game, we'll get Jason's thoughts on that and week one of the National Football League, in case he has thoughts on that. Each and every Friday during this season, though, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, we have the privilege of hearing from this man talking college football analytics and some pro football as well from Dr. Bob Sports. It's Dr. Bob Stoll, everybody. How you doing, Bob?
Doing all right. Apparently, I suck now because I went 0-3 last week on the leans that I gave out and
getting some hate
on Twitter over it. And it just drives home the point. You know, I always say, investors look at the long term, gamblers focus on the short term, and the gamblers coming out going, Dr. Bob, you're killing me. I'm like, all right, yeah, I'm 1-3 this year on the plays I've given out on your show. But I'm 85-61 on football plays on your show since you've been on, Beeson. So 58% long-term is what people should focus on. And, you know, you don't win every week, Gil.
You don't.
No one wins every week. And it just drives me crazy when people, you know, talk about short-term results and judge on that. Just
Here's the thing, Bob. It can't drive you crazy anymore because you know there's always going to be this percentage of people that just don't get it. And by the way, they're the smartest people in the room. You can't argue with them.
Yeah, and I feel sorry for those people because they're going to be losers because they focus too much on short-term things. And, you know, in life, generally, it's a problem in life as well as sports betting. But, you know, I don't know. My long-term record speaks for itself. But that kind of stuff, I just feel sorry for those guys that, you know, oh, Dr. Bob, you're 0-3. What the hell? I'm like, what the hell? It's called variance. I'm 58% over whatever 5 years I've been on Gil's show. But okay, we can move on to the day.
Oh, trust me. Here's the other part: is if they don't like you, they'll invent reasons not to like you, even if they don't have any. So don't even let it don't trip.
Oh, it doesn't
as
bother
we used
me.
To say.
It doesn't bother me. I just feel sorry for people who think like that. It's just ridiculous.
Before we get to your two college plays that you want to talk about today, can you reiterate for everybody your thoughts on why, briefly, you don't have to get into it in the same way in depth, but what the crux of your New England handicap, you like New England plus, you got them plus 4.5 in this game against the Eagles.
Well, it's just, I think a big part of it was last year they really did not have an offense coordinator. I mean, Matt Patricia was calling plays, and he's not necessarily known as some kind of offensive wizard. You know, so they bring in a legitimate offense coordinator, not that he's, you know, necessarily great. But 2 years ago, Matt Jones was a solid starting quarterback as a rookie. And people thought, oh, that's a good rookie season. Wow. And then last year he regressed because the play calling was so bad. They have an OC this year who should call plays at a decent rate. And so the offense, I think, is going to get just better just based on offensive play calling. And Philadelphia lost some guys on the defensive line. You know, mid-season last year, they brought in a couple of really good defensive tackles, and they went from being worse than average against the run to being really good against the run. They let those guys walk in free agency. So I think they're going to have problems stopping the run again. So I just think Philadelphia is not going to be as good, and New England's going to be better offensively. So I just think there's value. You know, I released it when it's plus 4.5 or plus 4 right now, so I still think New England plus 4 is a good bet.
Okay, let's go to college football because people are always curious on your college football plays. You have a total. Boise State is taking on UCF. Boise State lost badly to UW, 56-19. They were 14.5 point dogs. Washington had no issue with Boise State. UCF, they took down Kent State handily, 56-6. What's your play on the total, Boise State and Central Florida?
Yeah, I like the over. I mean, I released it at 57.5 to clients, and it's up to 60, but I still think there's value going over 60. My preseason ratings would have made the total 60.5, and I think both teams are higher scoring than that for a couple of reasons. The Broncos, Boise State, just 5 returning starters on defense. I still thought they'd be pretty decent, but they gave up 569 yards and 56 points to Washington. I mean, Washington obviously has an elite offense, but those numbers are much worse than I projected for Boise's defense. So I think Boise's defense is not as good as expected. And the offense, interestingly, didn't play so bad. I mean, when the starters were in for both teams, the offense, you know, Washington starters were in, and Boise starters were in, they averaged 5.8 yards per play, and that was better than the 5.5 yards per play I expected. But the big difference is they've gone from a running team. When Green took over at quarterback for Boise last year, in his 10 starts, they ran the ball 60% of the time. They have a new offense coordinator. He ran it 21 times, threw it 40 times, and it wasn't just a case of Boise being behind, because they threw it 65% of the time in the first half, and they threw it 62% of plays in the first quarter when the game was still competitive. So it just looks like this new offense coordinator is going to throw the ball more. They're definitely running at a faster pace, and UCF loves to run at pace. Gus Malzahn's always liked to run his offensive pace. They have a new offense coordinator. He's really ramped up the pace. You know, they ran 81 plays, UCF did last week, in 31 and a half minutes of possession. That is a very fast pace, and that's even while slowing it down with the backups in the fourth quarter. So UCF is running faster than normal. Boise's pace is higher. UCF's offense looks pretty darn good. I didn't upgrade them basically at all for scoring 56 points on 700 yards against Kent State, because I think Kent State's got maybe the worst defense in the nation. But UCF's defense is average in my estimation, and Boise should move the ball. Their offense should move the ball on Boise's defense, and I see a lot of plays. So I have 67.5 points predicted, and we'll see. Over 60, I think, is still a good bet.
What would you play it up to, Bob?
Up to 60.
Up to 60.
What my cutoff was for clients, yeah.
Okay, up to 60. Don't go – and now I know there's going to be a portion of the audience that are going to override
61
that.
61 is not bad. I think a half unit at 61 is fine. Up to 61 is fine.
Half
for
unit at 61.
Purposes, it was 60.
He allows for it. Okay. The other one, and I'm fascinated by what you think about this game, because this is a game between, by the way, that game in Boise, this one in Tempe, which is just two teams that I guess they could have looked worse last week, but not really. Arizona State, a 34.5 point favorite over Southern Utah, they end up winning by a field goal, and then Oklahoma State. They beat Central Arkansas by two touchdowns. They were 25.5 point favorites. This is Arizona State and Oklahoma State in Tempe. What do you do with this game?
Yeah, here's the thing. I mean, I think people are looking at this Arizona State. God, they were a 30-something point favorite. They only won by three. My God, that's horrible. But Oklahoma State actually played worse than Arizona State did. I think Arizona State was dropped in the market a lot more than Oklahoma State was. Going into the season, I had Arizona State rated slightly better than an average FBS team. When that was with Drew Pine, the projected starting quarterback, sidelined, and he, I think, is not going to play again this week. I had Oklahoma State rated 56th best in the nation, a couple points better than an average team. I think that was below the market. So I was below everyone else on Oklahoma State. I was down on them to begin with, and they were even worse than expected. You know, in that game, they averaged 5.9 yards per play against Central Arkansas. They gave up 6.0 yards per play. They got outgained on a yards per play basis by Central Arkansas. They did run 12 more plays and had 66 more total yards, but the line of scrimmage rating, which is a combination of yardage and plays run, was just 4.3 points, plus 4.3 against the FCS team. That's pretty bad. Now, Arizona State only won by three against Southern Utah, but their yard of scrimmage rating was plus 13.2 points. They outgained them by 145 yards. They averaged 5.9 yards per play. Southern Utah only averaged 4.7 yards per play. Now Central Arkansas is better than Southern Utah, but not that much better. They're about 6 points better than Southern Utah. And Arizona State played 9 points better from the line of scrimmage than Oklahoma State did. So basically, Arizona State played 3 points better when adjusting for opponent strength than Oklahoma State did. Yet Oklahoma State didn't get punished that much by the market, but Arizona State did. And here's an interesting fact for you. There have been 24 times in my database where a team opened up winning by 3 points or less as a favorite of 20 points or more in their opener. The next game, those teams went 22-2 against the spread.
Whoa.
So I think in the history, there have been a lot of teams that have barely won as huge favorites in their opener and got punished by the market. And those teams have gone 22-2 against the spread in the second game. I'm not basing this bet on the fact that I just thought it was – I looked it up. I thought, I just think they're getting punished here. And I looked it up. I'm like, wow, there have been a lot of these, and they're really good the next week. So my intuition was right that the market has overly punished Arizona State. I actually favor Arizona State by half a point in this game. They're now getting 3. It's going to be 106 degrees at kickoff at 7:30 at night, and still 99 degrees 3 hours later when the game's ending. It is going to be 100-plus degrees the entire game. ASU players are used to that. Are Oklahoma State players going to want to be playing in 100-plus degree temperatures? I mean, yeah. I don't think the conditions are particularly good for a team traveling. And I just think there's line value based on last week's results when Arizona State actually played better than Oklahoma State. So
that trend intuitively makes sense, though, right? Because it's just, you know, if they couldn't be – the market couldn't have been that far off in week one. It just sort of happened that way, and it's a limited sample. So it makes sense. Makes sense to me. Real quick before you go, because you only have 30 seconds here. What did you make the Colorado-Nebraska game line?
Yeah, I favor Colorado by 1, and I still might be under the – my whole premise on Colorado was that they won't be able to run and they won't be able to stop the run, but they'll be able to throw and stop the pass, which is exactly what happened. But they ran it for 3 yards per run play and gave up 7 yards per run play to TCU. I mean, Nebraska's happy to run the ball, and Matt Rhule has a long history of being very good as an underdog, and that they covered last week. I mean, that's something like 34-12 or something in his coaching career as an underdog is Matt Rhule, the head coach of Nebraska. I don't know. I mean, it's tough. I favor Colorado by 1.
But no play.
I wouldn't be surprised if they won by a ton.
There you go.
Who knows what's happening with
favored
Colorado.
Favored by 1, I wouldn't be surprised if they won by a ton. From your lips to God, as my mom would say, I hope that happens. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it, man.
All right.
Dr. Bob, Dr. Bob Sports on Twitter. Chris Velika, the Bear on College Football next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check them out. All of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. We get tweets at Media the Book. Phil Weiss, Paul Carr must be on Germany. And the FIBA.
Great call.
That's a great call. He's always on Germany.
Auto winner for Paul today, yeah.
Bainbridge Deweese. I'm a little worried about Kelly. Can you get a sunburn from a spray tan?
We'll find out if Matt ever kicks his field goal.
Nash, last name Nash. Next weekend, kicking field goals, spray tans, and maybe a trip to a secret sushi place to wrap it up. Should we put it on our calendars now?
Sounds good.
Larry L. Oh, this is very nice, Larry L. Watching the Thursday night football game last night was reminiscent what it was like watching a live game while primetime action was on. Missed that, but loving the crew back this morning. Yeah, it's great to have Matt on. We'll have him on every single Friday on the show talking football. Easy Pickens 52. Do you think you'll ever have Jason Robbins on a numbers game? You know what? We would love to have Jason Robbins sitting right here next to me at the table here at the D at
Welcome
Bar Canada. Come on down to Bar Canada. Nevada Razor. Hey, Gil, hope you enjoyed your summer. To follow up Dr. Bob, maybe Mac Jones just isn't very good and the OC competency does not matter at all. Hey, I'm with you. I'm with you. So's Kelly. Let's talk to Chris Velika, everybody, on college football. He is the Bear. He is the host of the Bear Pod, which is both pro football, and then there's a college football version as well. How you doing, Chris? What's happening? Chris Velika, everybody.
I'm doing, you know, that's not a bad suggestion, by the way. You guys should just go to the beach, put up some goalposts. I mean, you certainly can't be fewer insects around there, and certainly probably quieter out there at the beach, too, just sitting here enjoying the music.
Yeah, I mean, sounds good to me. Let's make it happen. Matt just Jedi mind trick Kelly, though. He's like, you do the spray
first,
tan. It's all on you now.
Kick. Yeah, like we haven't been waiting for 2 years.
Oh, man. How's the Bear Bets podcast going, man, on Fox? How's it going?
Good. No, yesterday we recorded the second college one with Jeff, Will, and Sammy P, and we did the first pro one, which will be out today as well. But no, we I appreciate people who would checked in on Twitter. Boy, speaking of Twitter, Dr. Bob, wow, a little salty this morning, isn't he?
It's so
serious. I appreciate the people who did reach out last week. They were talking about, like, we'd love more games, we'd love more talk, less scripted. So hopefully we achieved that goal this week and getting in a lot more games and kind of having that roundtable segment to be a little looser and more animated.
Well,
so
let's make that our...
We did, so hopefully people will agree.
Yeah, let's make that our North Star as well here as well. Listen, hey, Chris, just one thing. Dr. Bob doesn't care about that stuff. He just wants you to know that. What is your
Not at all. Clearly it doesn't
He doesn't care. What is your favorite college football play this weekend? Give me your A number one, sir.
I played Temple plus 9.5 against Rutgers, and the number has come down now. So at 8.5 or 9, what it is, it probably wouldn't be my favorite, being that I got it 1.5 points better. But look, last year, this was a 16-14 game. Rutgers clearly still has the offensive problems, less than 4 yards of play against a really bad Northwestern team. And at the same time, yes, Temple did kind of struggle against Akron. And finally, in the second half, they worked themselves into the game and allowed 40 yards. So defensively, I think Temple is decent. Certainly should be able to handle Rutgers. Like I said, 16-14 last year. I don't know what has happened to change the viewpoint of both these teams. Right now, Rutgers should be close to a double-digit favorite. The other game that I like, two other games that I liked. I'm kind of circumventing your question there.
That's okay.
But New Mexico State getting 11 at Liberty, I think it's another game that I liked. That Liberty 10-point win against Bowling Green last week, I think it was a lot more bad Bowling Green than it was good Liberty. If you look at the box score, Bowling Green had 5 turnovers, a lot of them in like key areas of the field, 2 of 12 on third down, 9 penalties. That's not to say New Mexico State isn't going to go there and help Liberty out with a bunch of turnovers themselves, because that's what they did against UMass when they outgained UMass by like 100 yards and lost the turnover battle. So, but I think getting 11 on the road, I like Sevilla, the quarterback. I think they can clean things up.
Go ahead, Chris. Just background noise. Just go ahead. You're okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, between my nasal drip and the background noise, people are really loving this segment.
You have another one, or is that the other one you wanted to give, New Mexico State?
No, I do. I wanted to go on mute and give like one good solid.
Please.
Clear of the throat before I was able to get into it. But look, we've all seen, like Ben Fox tweeted out all that DraftKings info about the betting slips and the lopsided ticket counts and stuff. So, like, the biggest one of the week is Texas Tech Oregon. Like, Oregon is like the squarest play of it all this week. And I labeled like the holy trinity of weirdness in college football as like Laramie, Lubbock, and Ruston. Well, last week Texas Tech experienced that firsthand. In Laramie, where weather delay, huge lead, overtime, outgained Wyoming by over 100 yards, won the turnover battle, and somehow they lost. Now, it doesn't mean that Texas Tech still isn't the potential Big 12 sleeper that a lot of us thought they might be this year. If you go back, Texas Tech has really done well in the role of like home underdog against good teams. But look at last year under Joe McGuire. A couple of outright upsets over Texas and Oklahoma. So, like, you got Tyler Shuck, the quarterback for Texas Tech, who was a former Oregon Duck. They obviously will be a little bit more animated and motivated to be able to play in this game against his former team. Look, why I like Oregon. I think, and Jeff and I got into this on the pod yesterday. Like, really, there isn't anything football-wise that you would say Texas Tech should beat Oregon or compete with Oregon. But at the same time, it's a night game on the road in a weird spot against a team with their backs against the wall after kind of having a weird box score loss. I think Texas Tech plus 6.5 is the only way you can play this game.
Yeah, and I said I quoted you. I gave you credit for this comment earlier in the week, which is you didn't understand why Texas Tech would have even taken that game at Laramie.
Yeah, and I'm glad they did. Look, as a college football fan, I love when these Power 5 teams go on the road to play the group of 5 teams. But like, there's no benefit to doing it for the big team. Like, if you win, you're supposed to win. If you lose, now here you are, 0-1, heading into a home opener against a top 10 team.
You know, there might be some people out there who are sick of talking about Colorado. I'm not one of them. And I just asked Bob what he thought about the line currently. Buffalo's by 2.5. He has Colorado at he has Colorado at 2.5, but it's Colorado by 1, but he wouldn't be surprised if they won by a ton. He rhymed it. Where do you stand on the Buffaloes after you saw their performance against TCU last week? Slow everybody's roll, or are you all about it?
They're going to score on anyone as long as they're healthy. The biggest concern I have with Colorado long-term is what happens when inevitably an offensive lineman gets nicked up or someone on the defensive line gets nicked up, areas where they are not deep at all. Like, that's the one thing that I'm curious, and I'll wait until later in the year when maybe some of these numbers don't fully adjust for some of the injuries that they may have had to get involved in Colorado. But I think tomorrow it might be like kind of a maybe a team total under game or an under game as a whole. But there's going to be no secrets here. Nebraska's going to run Jeff Sims probably 20 times or so just to try and keep Colorado's offense off the field. So I think that would kind of lean towards it being probably a lower scoring game, clearly, than what we saw last week in Fort Worth. But I just wonder if Nebraska ultimately will be able to put up a bunch. But that's the thing about last week that I need to try, or not me only, but other people need to kind of compartmentalize. Like, TCU should have scored 56 in that game.
Yeah.
They had the interception in the end zone and then the unbelievable play by Hunter near the goal line. Like the Colorado defense has major issues, and maybe Jeff Sims will just run roughshod over him and they will go over. But I can't lay 2.5 with Colorado after knowing what the number was earlier. And again, that number is basically inviting you. Oh, Colorado, all they need to do is beat this terrible Nebraska team that scored 10 points on the road at Minnesota last week. They just need to beat them by a field goal after they scored 45 points last week. Easy, easy deal. Home opener, everyone's going to be fired up. Like, I can't go there with Colorado. It would be Nebraska or pass for me, but the thing I do like the most is the under here.
Okay. Likes the under the most, that number right now at 59. And real quick then, last 30 seconds here, Chris, talking to the Bear, Chris Felica. What was your, because we didn't get a chance to talk about this, what did you, in the wash, what did you come up with FSU and LSU? Was it FSU's dominant performance in the second half, or is it the what could have been in the first half for LSU?
It came out more towards the FSU dominance, because I think what we saw in the second half was Florida State cleaning up some of those idiotic penalties that they had in the first half, and I think we really saw that defensive line. I was texting with you and Will during the game, and I was thinking someone else as well, and talking about like Florida State, like the defensive line was supposed to be dominant, and they played it that way in the second half. And now you look at the ACC with Clemson struggling, like the Noles, I think, are a legitimate national title contender now for what we saw. And so, look, I mean, people talk about Johnny Wilson all the time. Keon Coleman is the best receiver on that team, and that was an absolute coup by Mike Dorvell and his staff to get him in the portal of Tallahassee.
All right, Chris Felica from the Bear Bets podcast at Fox and all things sports betting at Fox. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it, man.
You're welcome, guys. Enjoy the happy hour.
Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke on MLB next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nobody knows football like VSiN, and now's the time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for both college and pro games every week. Our picks page recapping all the best bets from guests and hosts throughout the day in one convenient place. This season, we have a top VSiN experts leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, and our betting splits lets you know where the money and bets are moving for every game. The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings betting data every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada right here at the D in downtown Las Vegas. Just a couple more tweets here at Beating the Book. Sports betting guy regarding Dr. Bob's ASU play. ASU had a big weather delay at halftime and played in a dust storm in the second half once play resumed. This definitely impacted their performance in the second half. I agree. They're being overpunished by the market. And then Tim Lawson at the Better Life, he said that off-mic splitting bets was amazing. So shout out to you, Kelly Bidlin, for your creativity.
We had to make sure everybody was awake in the D, okay?
Oh.
And that I think I got everybody.
Yeah. Pretty, all right.
Sigma Derby woke up a couple people. Yep.
Sigma Derby. I'm headed after the show today to San Francisco. Going to watch a little Giants baseball tonight.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were heading out of town this weekend.
A little Oracle. Okay. No, I'm coming right back in the morning because I want to be here in front of my TV before Colorado plays. I'm serious.
I am with you. But you brought it up with Chris right there.
Yeah.
I'm not sick of talking about them yet.
I will
are
continue.
You kidding me?
As long as they keep winning, I will continue talking about them for sure. Jason Weingarten comes to us from under a cloud of smoke. Talk Major League Baseball and beyond. His football thoughts as well. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. How you doing, Jason? What's happening?
Good morning. I was up in the middle of the night for a bit. I bet the Canada-Serbia basketball game.
What'd you bet?
I went to sleep and I just I bet on Serbia because they were the dog. But
Wait, walk us through this. You wake up in the middle of the night randomly. You didn't have a thought about betting this beforehand, but you wake up in the middle of the night and you say to yourself, self, you know, I think I should place a wager on Serbia. Is that how that goes?
No, kind of. I woke up. I fell asleep early after, you know, football and after the Guardians-Angels game and everything.
Yeah.
So I fall asleep, wake up, and I'm just kind of looking at different betting stuff, and I see that the line of bookmakers is like 5, and the line's 4.5 bookmaker. It's 5 some other places. And, you know, I know it's the middle of the night, so it's not like anybody's in the office paying attention to where the line's going or anything. So, I just made a little bet, and then went back to sleep after the game, so that was nice. But
by the way,
I saw the U.S. just lost.
Yeah, they just lost, too, so you have a Serbia-Germany final. Who could have seen that one coming? By the way, the book that you referenced, have you noticed a slowdown in functionality lately? Have you noticed that at all?
I have not.
Okay. Maybe just on my end. Okay. All right. What were you going to say? I'm sorry, about Serbia and Germany?
Who could have expected Germany? They were 11-point. U.S. was 11-point favorite. What? Losing to Germany at basketball? Is that not allowed?
We're not supposed to lose in basketball like that. It's a travesty. No. Travis Sham mockery is what
very,
it was.
Very much so.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. So I look up at the standings this morning at Major League Baseball. The Giants haven't won a game in September. They've lost 6 in a row. Much of that has been offensive anemic, offensive anemia from them. They've just been terrible in offense. Yet, they're still only 2.5 back in the NL wildcard. Then I look at a team like the Padres. I'm like, well, certainly the Padres have closed the gap. Nope, they're still 7 back. Like, it's amazing how poorly or how no one is really distinguishing themselves right now in not only that race, but then you have the issue with the Rangers, who are falling behind further in the NL West and are a half game on the outside looking in the wild card race in the American League. First of all, do you think the Rangers end up making the playoffs or not?
I think the Rangers are just having a disaster of a stretch run here. It's looking all of a sudden like, they can not make the playoffs, as crazy as that is to say. It's actually, you know, on the table.
It is crazy that it is on the table as they limp in trying to get to their season win total. The NL, we talk Cy Young a lot this week. Obviously, Spencer Strider just had an awful outing, and it feels like he is donezo. What's your instinct? Should Snell be the favorite? Snell's got to face the Astros here. Shouldn't it be Justin Steele, who's plus 165? Would you make a bet on Justin Steele now?
I took a little bet on Justin Steele. I did it myself, I think, at 4.5 to 1. Here, I'm a little less likely to bet him at plus 150 or whatever he is now. I do think Snell has a chance to, you know, really get himself in some trouble tonight.
Yes,
or
he do.
Really, he can also kind of push himself ahead of everybody else.
Well, that's true, too, right? That's the flip side. Yes, he does have that opportunity.
I lean towards the getting himself in trouble more than, you know, kind of putting it away tonight myself. But, no, Steele's kind of one of those guys. I have two thoughts on that. One, if you had given me 25, you know, pick 25 guys before the season, I wouldn't have come up with Justin Steele in any of my 25 Cy Young picks. So that's very much out of right field. And the other thing is I'm curious to know, I don't know if books will admit it early or not, but I'm guessing that because Justin Steele wasn't an early favorite, he wasn't popular, that they stand to make a lot of money on the NL Cy Young race. Especially with all the Strider money they've taken, you know, in season. So I'm curious to know if this isn't a profitable market for them this year.
Probably so. Probably good logic. What did you end up playing today on a day that starts with a game with a lot of playoff implications between the Cubs and the Diamondbacks at Wrigley?
Yeah, I actually ended up betting that game. I bet on the Diamondbacks yesterday. I bet on the Diamondbacks again today. I think I got minus 112 to get Gallen on the mound. And then later on, I got the Guardians. Guardians minus 129 against the Angels. Let's see the Angels if they could win 2 games in a row. That That game was really what upset me yesterday. I did well on the football game. I gave most of it back on the Guardians losing that game late. I was very upset about that last night.
Oh, wait a minute. You know what? I went to bed before I saw the final on that because, wow, the Angels did come back to win. I didn't even see that. Because the Guardians took the 2-0 lead late. Yeah, Angels win it 3-2.
What a bad bullpen year it's been for the Guardians. They have not been able to get out of their own way. They've just a bad – you know, for a team, we're talking about the Angels, how bad everything's been. Guardians almost have the same record and have played just as poorly for a team we thought was a playoff team.
It really, by the way, that exercise of like seeing what teams' records are actually close to others is pretty eye-opening, right? The Padres, 66-75. Just by comparison, the Pirates are 65-75, and the Mets are 64-75. It's just like, yeah, they're terrible at baseball. It's just not happening. We have people like as recently as 2 weeks ago who are like, I don't know, the Padres can still make a run. And you're like, nah, it's not happening, dude. It's really not happening. What else did did you bet today? Those were the ones. Those are the ones you bet.
That's about it.
How about football?
You know, there's not much.
What about week one?
Not much football today. I got football this weekend, obviously.
Yeah. What did you bet?
Let's see. Well, I obviously bet Colorado.
Obviously.
Who didn't bet Colorado this weekend? Does anybody not have a bet on that game at this point?
Apparently, Dr. Bob and Felica don't. I don't think they had one, but I did. I got.
They don't have a player there on Nebraska.
For Chris said Nebraska or nothing, but I don't think they have a play. He liked the under more than anything, but I was with you. I know Fezzik did the same. We all did a bunch of, like, how quickly could we bet Colorado last week? And I got the exact same number that exists today, by the way. I got Colorado -2.5 then. Not to mention Heisman bets
I
made.
It certainly worries me that the market has stayed around 2.5 or 3, but, you know, I'll bet Colorado one more week. I actually love Texas. Texas +7, especially if you can get -105.
Okay.
I know this is a good bet because I looked at it and I was like, oh, man, Texas 7, that's terrible. And then I looked at it, I was like, oh, no, actually, it's not bad. I could tell by my initial reaction that this is a really good bet. My initial hatred for this bet means it's a really good bet.
So you like Texas +7 against Alabama as your big college football play.
Did
you make any week one NFL plays?
I got the Broncos. I used a bunch of teasers to give me some Broncos exposure. Beyond that, I really do not like to bet week one NFL. I think historically it's been my worst performing sport by week.
100%. And that's the biggest thing that we can impart this week, right? It's like, you know, I say it sort of flippantly. I say none of us knows a damn thing, right? Like that's my line. What I really mean by that is, we might know some stuff, but there's a bunch of stuff. Inevitably, week one of the NFL, we learn how wrong we've been for a month and a half talking about this. So I'm with you on that.
I mean, none of these teams are bigger favorites than Team USA. It's just lost. I think they were -600-something. They just lost to Germany this morning. You know, like Baltimore Ravens -450 is the biggest favorite you're going to get this weekend. Any of these teams could win.
Any given Sunday, especially the first Sunday of the year. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it, man.
Pleasure. I'll talk to you later.
Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia is where you can find him. Kelly and I will be back. We'll wrap things up. I'll repeat my picks, my contest picks for this weekend. And Kelly never got a chance to give his. That's next. Numbers Game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's been 7 months without an NFL game till last night. It's crazy. But good thing that's over. NFL's here. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving you a can't-miss offer for week one. This week, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5 on any NFL game. Download now and use code VEGAS to sign up. New customers can take home $200 in bonus bets instantly just for betting $5. That's code VEGAS, only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from a Bar Canada at the D downtown Las Vegas. This was our first week here, and just want to thank all of you for sticking with us through all the perhaps the background noise and the music and that kind of stuff. We appreciate it.
Yeah, and the crew working hard, incredibly working hard to make it sound and look as good as possible.
Yeah, man.
Wonderful people at the D who have helped us out, both behind the book and security and everybody.
D-Train behind
That's
us.
That's right. Been absolutely incredible here all week. So thank you to everybody involved.
How many times have we heard TLC No Scrubs this morning during the show?
Twice, but I wanted at least two more times.
What's your favorite TLC jam?
No Scrubs.
Is that the only TLC jam you know?
No. Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls? Was that one?
Waterfalls is one, too.
That was a good one.
The correct answer is Baby, 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 and the remix of Digging on You.
No, you're wrong on both. You're wrong on both. They're two biggest hits, or they're two best songs.
No, it's incorrect. It's incorrect. Before we get to your football plays and our repeating mine for the NFL this week, I haven't even mentioned this is how great football season is that it's so all-encompassing and there's so much to talk about, both pro and college, that I haven't even mentioned tennis yet this morning. We hit our over yesterday in the Coco Gauff Carolina Muchova match. Muchova was absolutely clutch when we needed her, so that got over. So big up to all who rode on that. Today, I struggled with a play and ultimately didn't play anything. But it is the men's semis today. By the way, but besides Coco Gauff ended up winning that match, as you pointed out yesterday, she heads to the final. And then in the nightcap after the football game,
I watched it, yeah.
I mean, Arena Sabalenka lost 6-love in the first set.
I mean, it looked like Keys was going to roll.
Keys was up 5-3 serving for the match. Oof. And to meet Coco in the finals, which would have been Madison Keys' second ever slam final. And she, I don't even want to say she gacks it, because Arena Sabalenka just dominated from that point forward.
That's the way I took it.
Yeah.
It was a little bit of both, but Sabalenka was damn impressive.
They both went to tiebreakers, and Sabalenka dominated both tiebreakers, 1-7 in the second set, and obviously to 10 in the third, which is all how final sets and slams are now decided. So it's Sabalenka against Coco Gauff in the ladies' final. The line currently on that is almost a coin flip. Sabalenka is a slight favorite, -119. Coco -102 coming back. I'll have to crunch that one. I don't have a play in. Yeah. But as far as today is concerned,
I saw that number last night. My initial reaction was I thought Coco would be the slight favorite.
Well, Sabalenka has the better long-term, like if you go back a year.
Right.
Sabalenka now the new number one after Iga was number one against Swiatek for 75 straight weeks. She's got the better longer-term hardcore numbers. But this is the summer of Coco.
Yeah.
She won in D.C. She won in Cincinnati. She has looked spectacular in this. This is her second slam final as well, and Arena Sabalenka trying to win her second slam of the calendar year 2023. As far as the men's semis today, like I said, it's Novak Djokovic against Ben Shelton. It's Carlos Alcaraz against Daniil Medvedev. Alcaraz is about a -385 favorite. Djokovic is, how can I put this, a -1429 favorite, something like that, against Ben Shelton. The total in the Djokovic-Shelton match is what I was interested in. It's 32. Like, you never see a Grand Slam best of five at this stage, typically, especially, with a total of 32. Because essentially what you're saying is, this guy's going to beat the other guy in straight sets, meaning Novak Djokovic is going to beat Ben Shelton if you go under on that. Because you're thinking, okay, 6-4, 6-4, 6-4 as a baseline, that would be under. It was 31.5. It actually got bet up to 32. So my thing is, my instinct was to go under and make a play. But this little voice in my head is just like, I don't know. Ben Shelton's serve is sort of the great equalizer, and he could have himself a set.
That, I was just going to ask you, like, do you think? Because I guarantee you, I'm trying to find it right now. I guarantee you, there's a way to bet that on DraftKings, like for him to win a set.
Oh, there is. You could bet him
set
plus
spread or whatever.
You could have him +2.5.
Okay,
if you wanted to. But I'm also not prepared to bet that, because if you told me Djokovic won this 6-4, 6-1, 6-2, I wouldn't be surprised either. So I stayed away in the
Shelton +2.5, +115.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people will bet that, hoping that Ben Shelton can unleash, you know, multiple 149 mile per hour serves and win a 7-6 set. It's all possible. In the end, I stayed away from both of these today. But should be a great ladies' final. And yes, it looks like a collision course once again between Djokovic and Alcaraz this weekend. And that's the beauty of tennis again. Tennis calendar gives perfect way now to the NFL season. It's a gorgeous thing how they set that up. As far as the NFL, let me just repeat my picks, and we'll get to Kelly's as well. These are my five contest picks that I believe I'm going to play. Although, yeah, I'm going to stick with these on the contest. I have backed up all of these with bets, in the account already. So these are not just contest plays this week. They are also bets. One, I took the Ravens -9.5. As soon as it ticked below the 10, I took the Ravens. I'm not of that group that feels like the Ravens are going to have a down year. I think they're just going to play Ravens football. -9.5 is the play against the Texans. And yes, a lot of these fall under the category of week one, let's see what happens. I'm okay laying that number. Steelers money line +110, reasons I've stated already. I think the Steelers, just on memory, the Malcolm Gladwell blink, how they perform in week one. TJ Watt's going to make a big play. They're going to get it done on special teams. And I think Brock Purdy, he had a lot of turnover-worthy plays last year, even when the Niners went 7-0 with him. Yes, Nick Bosa's back. How many snaps will he get in this game? He might be on a pitch count. The Niners' offensive line is weak. I took the Steelers' money line +110. Broncos -3, laying the points in the elevation against the Raiders. Sean Payton's debut. Eagles -4, as we've talked about ad nauseum this week, on the road against the Patriots. And the Cowboys, Kelly, might be my favorite play of the week. Cowboys laying 3, -120 juice at the Giants Sunday night. I am low on the Giants. I went alternate season win total under. And I think it starts here, and I'll repeat what I said earlier. Cowboys, if you're that good, you should win this football game. It shouldn't be a prop.
Yeah. It's okay. I'm so glad you ended with that game, and ended saying what you're saying, because I think that's like the week one bets I have are really my preseason convictions that there are teams that I'm aligned against. They're going up against teams that I don't think are going to be as good, and they're teams I'm betting on that I'm pretty high on, really high on for the entirety of the season. I haven't bet the Cowboys yet, but I do think I'm going to add that. I was waiting for the threes, the three to show up, and I know they've been there. You had 120.
Yeah, minus 120 juice. Yeah.
Like, I see a 115 right now. I guess I've been getting a little greedy waiting for a flat three at some point, but I know they've been out there. I'll probably be adding that as well. I agree with you. I think it's a – that's when I'm comfortable, and if Saquon Barkley has a massive game somehow or whatever and the Giants pull that off – Good on them. I don't see it, and I'm really high on the Cowboys this year. And like you said, if you're that good of a team, we'll go in and win that game in week one. You should be able to do that. Other bets that I did make, and these are all, I guess, four of those are contest plays for me, and then I did actually end up with the Lions, the contest play last night. I got rid of the Bills. I know Matt brought that up earlier, but, ended up going with the Lions last night, so... Yeah, 1-0 in the contest. Undefeated in the contest, Bill.
Let's end it now.
Let's end it now. but, the other ones for me, Seahawks. I bet this a couple times. I laid 5, and I laid 5.5 again yesterday.
A lot of Seahawks conviction on the show today.
This is my favorite bet of the week. Again, when we're talking about teams that we're high on, this is the fourth NFC team to me. You kind of said that about the Lions earlier. This is the fourth NFC team to me is Seattle. I do think they're going to be, I think they're going to be good again this year. And I think this Rams team is walking in as a dumpster fire. I think there's problems on the defense, as Matt brought up. And again, I'll go back to that Kelly Stafford thing. That was weird to me.
You really are stuck on that.
I'm stuck on that a little bit. I think you can get in some of these locker rooms where – what have we seen at it with Aaron Rodgers and the Jets? You and I were laughing about this in July, where he's going to every sporting event in town. He's spending time, though, with coaches and the team and stuff. And you're hearing Matt Stafford's wife talk about how he can't connect with these young receivers and stuff. That's a concern for me heading into a season. I'm not going to, I don't want to overblow it, but I think it's a small factor that's concerning with already a team that I don't expect to be very good. So Seahawks, I really like this week. And then the other two, Eagles, laid it. We've talked about that all week. But, that's just the Patriots team I don't expect to be all that great. I think the Eagles are going to be really good again this year. I'll lay the points. And then Jags with the Colts. Understand what Drew said. I know Matt hit on it a bit, too. I think Anthony Richardson, I think he could be in for a big year. I don't mind rookie of the year bets on him either, because you're not going to bench the guy ever. You're just going to let him go out there, and there's a lot of time it's going to turn into backyard football with him, I think. And that might burn you once or twice, but I don't think it's a good conventional way of winning a lot of games. So Jags -4.5 week one.
Listen, NFL Megapod, the Beating the Book of Megapod available. Steve Fezzik, our guest with Will Hill and Todd Wishnev this week. I'm super humbled by all the downloads. It is such a great episode. I recommend it to everybody. And then Monday, we will do guessing lines. I'm going to do recaps. I'm going to guess lines. We just won't have Chrissy here. Kelly will give a consensus one, but there's no way I'm replacing Chrissy. But yes, we will do it on Monday. Good luck with all your bets. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Best Bets is next.